Well, here's a question for you. How do you organize your keepsakes? I mean, how do you decide if something gets kept or thrown away? Is it general nostalgia? Perhaps it's affiliation with a family event or with a specific person? And then, once you've decided that you're going to keep it, what do you do with it? Do you put it away in a box? Do you put it out on display? And how do you catalog it? Well, it's time to say hello to one of our favorite regulars, Allison Spees, who works in the Archdiocesan Archives and Records Management Office and has done so for over 8 years. Maybe we can glean a little from her expertise in this field. Hello, Allison. Welcome back to the program.
Good morning. Thank you so much. I'm always excited to talk about archives.
And that is a unique and wonderful thing, and you make it come alive so much and so well for us. So thanks for joining us. So let's talk about some of this. In your time as Archdiocesan Archivist, what have been some of the most interesting items, Allison, that you've come across?
Well, the Archdiocese Archives, of course, contains a wide variety of documents and objects, and I'm personally delighted by a lot of things, so
okay.
Choosing favorites is always a real challenge, but I tried to come up with a few of in each category today to highlight. Something that I came across when I was first a volunteer in the archives, this was probably almost 10 years ago now, was this beautiful petition from 1846 that was written by the chiefs of the Winnebago Nation in Minnesota to the U.S. government agent about their rights. And it's incredibly poetic and poignant, and it's still to this day one of the most moving documents that I've ever read. And it's a real pleasure to be able to give that a permanent home here in the archives.
Wow. And sorry, give me the date on that again, Allison.
1846. So it was in the papers of Bishop Creighton.
Wow. That's incredible. Oh,
yeah.
Wow. Okay.
On a lighter note, we have a decree from Rome from 1856 warning about the dangers of mesmerism, which I find really interesting.
Mesmerism.
Hypnosis. And I don't know if you or your listeners are familiar, but in Minneapolis, there's the Bakken Museum for Electricity and Magnetism, and they have this collection of papers from Anton Mesmer, for whom mesmerism was named. And when I was a library student, I actually worked with those papers. So it's kind of fun for me to see nods to his work here in the Archdiocese collections.
Okay, but did you say this was on the dangers of mesmerism?
Yes, so there were some concerns about whether people under the sway of mesmeric healing or hypnosis might get into some trouble. And that actually recurs even into the 20th century. We see it a lot in dentistry. People were using hypnosis as an anesthetic.
Okay.
And there were permission letters granted by the Archbishop to use hypnosis for dentistry. That was great.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's something, I wouldn't necessarily expect to stumble across, but that's quite the dispensation there. Yes, you may be hypnotized in order to avoid the pain of your root canal. Yeah.
Yes, as long as the dentist promises not to make you do anything unethical while you're under. Those were the terms. And really, it's those unusual things that you might not expect to find that I think draw my attention the most. Something that I've found that I have a real interest in is historical advertisements, which pop up in the back of like parish historical booklets and things. There were some very elegant advertisements from the local coroner during the 1920s that I'm very fond of. And we have an advertisement for organs, the musical instrument.
Okay.
That's a little 3D slide viewer. And this came out in about the 1930s. And it has no relevance really for our collection, but we're so enamored of it that we keep it around as kind of a novelty item.
Okay. Well, I just want to interject this here, Allison, that maybe don't go from talking about the coroner to talking about an advertisement for organs.
Because unintentional.
that was a little bit of, I got a little worried there. I was just talking about Jesus, talking about his giving his flesh and blood for the life of the world. And I hope that's not been duplicated or replicated since. Anyway, okay, all right. Well, items that come in, do they come in pretty regularly? I mean, do people want to give things to the Archdiocesan Archives? Do they, what is that process like, and how do you determine whether or not an item is worthy of being archived?
That is a great question, and we actually get materials into the archives constantly. The primary purpose as a refresher of the archives, which is mandated by canon law, is as a repository for the official records of the Archdiocese as an institution and serving the administrative needs of the Archdiocese. So it really functions more like a corporate archives than a public historical collection. So almost all of the materials that we get are generated internally. So all of the letters to the archbishops and bishops, policies that are generated, operating documents and reports from offices, those all come into us on almost a daily basis as they're being created. I think probably what your question is more about is receiving historical materials from outside sources, which is less frequent, but it does happen. We get things from other diocese archives when they find something that's maybe more relevant to our location or from even our parish archives and other Catholic institutions. And then every so often, we'll get donations from individuals in our community as well. You had asked about what are the requirements for determining whether something gets archived. And the most important questions for us to ask are, how does this material represent the official work of the Archdiocese as an institution? And what kind of use would it get in our archives? Like, are we the right audience? And how difficult would it be to preserve? So it's not inexpensive to keep something in good shape forever, and we have limited space, so we can't keep everything. And there are even sometimes hazards in receiving some things. So, for instance, I had someone contact me last year who wanted to donate some records that they had found in their garage, and they probably would have been relevant to the collection, but they were full of mildew and mold, and that would pose a danger to not only the other materials that we have, but to staff. So we weren't able to accept those into our collection.
Yeah. Well, it seems to me, too, that, I mean, well, maybe you answered this in saying that it's more of more akin to a corporate archives than, say, a personal archives. But I'm just curious, too, as to, you know, you mentioned, you know, how who would be the audience or how useful is this for us? And, you know, on a personal level, of course, there's, as I mentioned in the intro, that there's general nostalgia, you know, that or it's affiliated with a specific event that means a lot to me or a specific person that means a lot to me. But that's not what I'm hearing is so, that's not as high up on the list into determining whether or not an item donated might be archivable. I don't even know if that's a word.
Right, but. Yeah. So the Archives of the Archdiocese are not a public museum, so it's a pretty limited audience once we receive something.
Sure.
And so if some materials have a broader interest to the community at large, I really encourage those to go to public institutions where they'll be seen by more people. And we often get calls about family Bibles and devotional works that people have had in their family for a long time, and those really are most valuable to members of your family. They don't have so much of a research value about the Archdiocese as an institution. So one of my favorite things is to help try and find what the right home is for those items. Another issue is understanding context. So for things that we do receive for the archives, it's really important that we know when they came from and where they came from. In archives terms, we would call that provenance, for us to be able to use something for research. So if we don't have any context for something, it's really hard to make good use of it. And we've had some unsolicited sort of orphan donations show up literally on the doorstep of the Archdiocese with no names, no return address, and we're unable to establish the relevance to the collection, so we usually can't justify keeping any of those things.
Right. Okay. Well, that's understandable. I can imagine what might drive people to say, you know, they're cleaning out the garage, they come across, oh, I know who wants this.
Yeah.
To just dump it on the
And
the
it's hard
doorstep.
For us to not take things. So I'd really rather have a conversation with someone and say, well, it might go really well at Catholic University, for example.
Well, right. Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure that there are other places. And do you, when something is, when you can't accept it, do you think about, okay, well, maybe this institution would want it or this person would want it, or is it basically, yep, we got to burn, bury, or throw this one out of the trash here?
I absolutely like to make referrals, and that's one of the reasons that I encourage people to contact us. Even though there's a pretty small percentage of outside materials that really belong in our collection, I'm always happy to help someone figure out other appropriate repositories where they'd get their best use.
Right. So, yes, everybody listening, if you have something you're thinking about giving, call Allison first.
Yes.
Don't just leave it on the front step. All right. Very good.
Thank you.
Now, word on the street amongst the practicing Catholic team here, Allison, is that you've had some items that have recently been donated that are of particular interest. Is that true?
Yes. We've had kind of a flurry of donations lately. In professional archives language, we call them accessions. These are new arrivals.
Accessions, and, okay.
So last June, we talked about the 1941 Eucharistic Congress, and yep. I mentioned the souvenir medallions that were generated.
Yep.
And someone had one. They heard the story. They contacted me and said, hey, would you like one of those medallions?
Fantastic.
And I said, absolutely. So we got one of those in.
Nice.
We received some great photographs from the Diocese of Duluth of the St. Bernard School baseball team in the 1930s that are just
Ooh,
amazing.
Nice.
We got some minutes of early Catholic women's organizations from a really kind member of the community. We've had really just kind of a whole onslaught of new things coming in, and they maybe won't be of interest to everyone. So, for instance, we received an educational strategic plan from 1955 for Catholic schools, and that might not be thrilling reading for everyone, but when we're looking at the history of the schools here and where they're headed now, that provides some really interesting historical context.
Yeah. Yeah, it surely does. I mean, that's a great reference, a great resource, I would think, for continuing to plot the course forward, right?
Yes, absolutely. And it's so many of these things are really fun to receive, but they also are a lot of work. So, for instance, we received literally thousands of slides from our Venezuelan mission parishes back to about 1970.
Oh, man.
So we're now doing the hard work of trying to identify them, prioritize them, and make them more readily accessible.
Now, I was just saying in our intro that my wife and I are just back from vacation, and I got to say, we haven't subjected anyone to looking at any more than like two of our vacation pictures yet.
That's very generous of you.
But I've learned, right? Because it used to be I'd go away on vacation and people just had, I forced them to sit through hundreds of slides. I can't imagine thousands of slides and you have to go through every one of them?
We do our best to kind of target things, but it's hard when they're not labeled or,
right.
You know, the key ones aren't pulled out. So that's, I think, something everyone can relate to in the work of archives is the importance of picking really the representative samples and making sure that names and dates are on those images.
Yeah. Oof. Okay. All right. Well, good tips along the way there. I do want to ask you more about that, but I want to go back to the photograph of the baseball team.
Yeah.
So how is that pertinent, or why are you keeping that one?
That is a really great question. So part of it is precedent. We already have pictures of some of the sports teams from the parishes and schools,
okay.
And they apparently were award-winning. They won a lot of tournaments. So we have quite a few of this particular baseball team. But you're absolutely right that it maybe would be more appropriate for at the parish level. So eventually we may ask the parish if they would like to take those instead.
Sure. Okay. All right. Well, just curious there, too. I'm thinking, okay, well, we can't accept this, we can't accept that. But then, oh, yeah, here's a photo of a baseball team.
Yeah, obviously. I should say that I noticed when I was thinking about, like, what are some of my favorite items, and a lot of those don't really meet our donation requirements today. And so I try
honest.
To keep that in mind when I'm considering materials offered to us, that sometimes those exceptions are worthwhile.
So now, if I came over to your place, Allison, am I going to see a lot of these things up on the wall? The things that, well, we can't accept them here, but heck, I'll keep it. Sorry, you don't have to answer that.
The office mostly, but
okay, you don't have to answer that. Yeah, okay. Well, in our closing couple of minutes here, Allison, just wanted to ask you about the whole donation process. So, say somebody does stumble across something that they're wondering, or maybe they know that they have this and they've always wondered what to do with it.
Yeah.
And they're thinking, well, I don't know. Would the Archdiocese like this? What's the appropriate procedure here?
Well, I really appreciated your advice before, which is just contact me. My contact information is on the Archdiocese website under the Archives and Records Office. I'm happy to discuss any materials that you have to help determine if they would be a good fit for the Archdiocese archives or to find another repository. And sometimes an appointment for in-person review is helpful to get a better sense of what the materials are. But if it is a good fit, we have a donation form that we would supply for the donor to give contextual information about those materials, and we add that to our collection as well so that the next person looking at these 100 years from now will understand why we took them in.
Okay. All right. Well, I think that's great. Great advice. Now, I just had a flash of probably brilliance. I mean, let's be honest here, Allison. Here's what I think should happen, right? Since you said you've had kind of a flurry of incoming donations of late, mm-hmm. if that continues, maybe what you need to do is set up like an Archdiocesan Antiques Roadshow. Right?
Oh, I love this idea.
Yeah. Everybody gets together. You and your team, you know, you're there and you're the people who are out there just saying, okay, this is great. This is worth not monetary value, but this would be so worth in the Archdiocese and Archives, right? You can say, yes, we would love this as part of our archives. And then we also get to see you saying, no, you go ahead and keep that.
I love this idea, and maybe I can solicit some of our other local repository archivists to come along, and we can do kind of a Shark Tank shop your archive.
Yeah, exactly.
The local archives.
Oh, I love it. I think it's great. And if you do go ahead with this, Allison, you make sure and let Praxen Catholic know, because we will be there. We will document the whole procedure.
I certainly will. Thank you for the brilliant suggestion.
All right. There you go. Well, Allison, it's time for us to say goodbye. But as always, it's been a joy talking with you. God bless you in your continued work. And thanks for looking out after our past there in the Archdiocese and Archives.
Thank you so much.
All right. Well, it's always refreshing, isn't it? Yeah, wonderful thing. Well, we're going to head into our first break. When we come back, Archbishop Hebda will tell us why you are an essential part of the synod process this fall. Stick around.